Act like we don't know what's happened since we saw you last. Shall help us out with this. Let's welcome him in.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Well, just want to say thank you for your prayers and your faithful support for us, especially since you didn't hear from us for a while, and I am sorry about that. We hopefully have that fixed and that won't happen again. But anyway, we'll try and keep that from happening again. But I just want to say thank you for everything. What I'm going to do, I'm going to let you see a DVD that will explain some of the changes, and then I'll come up and talk and tell you some more about what's happened. But if you haven't grabbed a prayer card, or if you don't get our updates, if you'd like it to come straight to your inbox, you could sign up on the back table, and that can happen. We can get that to come straight to you. That way, maybe if one of you doesn't get it, the rest of you will or something. So anyhow, but we will let you see the DVD now, and then I'll come up and give you more of a report.
God abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself.
God in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
God's faithfulness has been and continues to be extended to the island country of Taiwan. And one day, the people of Taiwan will join wholeheartedly with all the nations in worshiping the Lord God. Taiwan is located south of Japan, north of the Philippines, and east of China. The central part of Taiwan is mountainous, forcing the majority of the 23.5 million people to live on the western coast in five major cities. God has providentially moved us from Kunming, China, to live and minister in Kaohsiung City in southern Taiwan.
You may think, as we thought, that Taiwan is pretty much like China. But Taiwan and China are as different as England and America. Taiwanese culture has been shaped by different historical influences and is rather confusing, even to the Taiwanese. The aboriginal peoples of Taiwan were joined by Chinese fishermen about 1,000 years ago. Since that time, Taiwan has been a Dutch colony, a Spanish colony, and even a center for pirates. China and Japan have both enjoyed periods of control over Taiwan. And most recently, Chiang Kai-shek, who was fleeing Mao Zedong, took control of Taiwan about 60 years ago.
Taiwan's language has been heavily influenced by all of these countries as well. Many of Taiwan's older generation can still speak Japanese, since the Japanese occupancy ended only 60 years ago. The working class speak mostly Taiwanese, and the educated class, which is the majority of the people, speak Mandarin Chinese. Although Mandarin Chinese is the official language for both Taiwan and China, their word usage and pronunciation differ greatly, which has added an interesting twist to our language study this past year.
Religion is one of the biggest cultural differences between China and Taiwan. While communism did an excellent job of eradicating China's historical religions, Taiwan continues to be gripped by a strong traditional religious influence. 70% of Taiwanese are Buddhist, 16% worship other ancient false gods, 10% don't believe anything, and only 4% fall under the Christian category. Of that 4%, most are Catholics, and the rest have a mostly works-based Christianity. Fewer than 1% of Taiwanese trust only in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. Taiwan is spiritually one of the world's most needy countries.
Taiwan has had a fairly long history of missionary activity, making the light of the gospel available to the people. So why hasn't God's word taken root and produced fruit? Well, it's hard to say, but we've made a couple observations in the past year.
We found that most Taiwanese are afraid of Christianity. They don't want to admit they're wrong. They don't want to admit that their ancestors are in hell. Most of all, they don't want to be ostracized by their families. We've also found that Taiwan is a moderately wealthy and very materialistic country. Taiwan's agricultural reform of the 50s and industrial revolution in the 60s built a strong economic foundation, providing its people with enough wealth to enjoy a high-flying lifestyle of lavish restaurants, mobile phones, cars, designer brand clothes, and overseas trips. Taiwan has never had a closed-door policy toward the rest of the world, as China did. As a result, Taiwan is now a modern country, which helps us to see daily the truth of what Jesus meant when he said, "It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven."
But God is faithful, and some Taiwanese do accept Christ and do live faithfully for him. One Taiwanese lady in our church cried while praying with me on a Wednesday night and said, "Thank you, Lord, for sending these missionaries to Taiwan. Thank you that you have not given up on Taiwan." Another time, Brother Cao in our church teared up when Josh told him that we intend to stay in Taiwan our whole lives if God allows us. They just can't imagine someone leaving home for such a different and difficult culture for their whole life. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil.
There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
As God's children, we pray, seek counsel, and make plans. But many times our plans don't match up to God's perfect will, and he lovingly changes our plans to fit his. We thought we would minister in China our whole lives, but God had other intentions for us. In March of 2015, I began to feel weak and had a general sense of being unwell. I thought I had a cold or the flu, but after a few weeks I could hardly sit or stand for more than 5 minutes. After several doctor's visits in Kunming, I flew to Thailand to receive further testing and was diagnosed with Addison's disease, an autoimmune disease that attacks and kills the adrenal glands. As we talked to several different doctors and our mission board, it became apparent that we could no longer live in China. The emergency medical care there would not adequately treat me if I were to have an Addisonian crisis, which is fairly likely living in China. So after much prayer, counsel, and tears, we were convinced that God was directing us to move to Taiwan.
The medical system in Taiwan is in many ways on par with America's medical system. Rachel's endocrinologist studied in America and communicates well in English. We live only 10 minutes from the hospital, and it's convenient for Rachel to have blood work done, go to routine checkups, and visit the emergency room if necessary. Since her diagnosis, Rachel's health has been stable. In the past year, she's done a lot of research about Addison's disease. That's led her to researching nutrition and food's impact on health. By changing her diet, she's seen a great increase in energy, strength, and memory.
Our moving to Taiwan was a direct answer to Baptist Mid-Missions and the Hannah's prayers of 20 years. Matt and Marla Hanna have ministered in Taiwan for 25 years. Most recently, they have been planting Cornerstone Baptist Church in Kaohsiung, Taiwan. The church is almost completely indigenized. Most of the ministries are run by Taiwanese Christians. It's exciting to see grounded men and women ministering in their own country. We are glad to join the Hannas and the local church in Kaohsiung. For now, we will continue to focus on language study until we are adequately fluent. Josh has begun preaching in Chinese and is about three-quarters done with full-time language study. In the coming year, he will begin transitioning into more and more church responsibilities at Cornerstone. Lord willing, in January 2017, he will take over as pastor for a few months while the Hannas are on furlough.
We have several evangelistic goals that we'd like to implement as we become fluent in Chinese. First, we'd like to help our church members reach out to unsaved family members. Second, we also see a great need and opportunity with Taiwanese young people who are more open-minded. There's a university not far from our home, and we want to begin evangelistic Bible studies with students there.
Church planting is still our focus. Only our location has changed. In China, we anticipated that our biggest problem would be false converts who pretended to believe just so they could learn English and go to America. In Taiwan, our biggest problem is wrestling with deep-set beliefs in ancestor worship, Buddhism, and materialism, which hold people captive. but God is more than able to overcome these and many other problems as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Some have called Taiwan the forgotten China. Missionaries are flooding into mainland China, but the spiritual need of Taiwan is being overlooked. But God has not forgotten Taiwan and continues to faithfully extend His gift of salvation to the Taiwanese people.
God is faithful and will accomplish His work. We are willing vessels for His use and are looking forward to His ultimate glorification among the nations and all people. Until then, may we each be found faithful.
All right. What I want to do, I want to tell you a little bit about China while the church is doing there, and then move forward into Taiwan and kind of tell you some of the plans that God has put in our laps. We had no plans going to Taiwan, and so we just laid them out there and said, all right, God, you shredded the last ones, so you're going to have to show us what we're going to do with these next ones. And so just want to start with the church in China. It's specifically the church we worked with, and it's doing well, but they're trying to split up into several groups around the city and stop meeting as a big group because there's lots of missionaries that are getting kicked out right now. There's lots of churches that are getting visited and shut down. And so what they're trying to do is take that core of believers and split them up across six locations in the city of Kunming so that, Lord willing, if one of them got visited, they wouldn't all get taken down at the same time. And so you can pray for our former co-workers that are there trying to oversee that and manage that and help that to get off the ground. Because some of the it's now not just the long-term missionaries that are getting nailed. We heard last week at a church, some of the short-term English teachers are getting kicked out with 4 days' notice as well too. And so there's not much time to plan. So our coworkers are trying to work on that ahead of time with the time that they have. And so you can pray about the church there. I think that most of what you can know about that, there are still missionaries going into China, but there's a whole lot that are leaving. And some of them are coming to Taiwan, like us, and some of them are going to other places in the world, back to America or whatever as well. So you can just know that, but pray for our brothers and sisters as they have some more trouble. The current president of China is trying to take it back to hard communism days, and so He's working on that. And so, of course, you saw in the DVD Rachel's sickness. And I don't know which update you got, if any, but she was 2 days from death when we got her to Thailand, not Taiwan. So it's two very, very different countries. So Thailand is almost bordering China. And then Taiwan is farther north and across 83 miles of water. So it's two different countries, and only to foreigners do they sound like they're the same. If you're in that part of the world, they're very different. So anyway, we went to Thailand, and she got tested and some medicine. But then really, she came back to life, really, in a lot of ways when she started this diet along with the medicine. And so God has really done some great things there. With Nathan, if you've gotten our last few updates, you know that he was getting his MRI and MRA done this past Monday, 2 days ago. And so he got through that, got that done. And we're just waiting now on the results of what that says, how he's doing. So you can just pray about that. But I think that's most of the medical stuff. So one of the churches we've been to asked, what do you want us to pray for? And I gave him two, which I'll tell you in a second, but the third one I gave him was just for no more medical stuff. If we can have no more medical stuff for many, many years, that'd be great. But we'll see what God does with that. But what I want to do now is kind of give you a report of what we plan to do. When we moved to Taiwan, as I said, I mean, our plans went right through the paper shredder. I've had God radically change my plans in the past, but most weren't as painful as this one. And so when we went, as I said, just had a blank slate. I said, I don't know what you have for us, but when we sent an update home, and I don't know which ones you did or didn't get, so I don't know how far back it's gone. So we sent an update from Thailand when we found out from several doctors, both in China and in America, American doctors in China, Singaporean doctors in China, Chinese doctors in China, and American doctors in America all said, you can't go back to China, you'll die there, for my wife. And so we sent an email from Thailand and just said, what should we do? I mean, it's your ministry, it's your money, so what do you think, what do you think about Taiwan? And 300 people responded back, said, go to Taiwan. And so I said, okay, that's a multitude of counselors, no one said anything different, I'll go and just see what happens. So we continued language study, and we were just kind of floundering, because as we're learning, we're weird missionaries, because we could, most missionaries when they land, they can't speak the language and they know lots about the country, and we're exact opposite. We could speak a lot and knew nothing about the country. And so when we were in China, we wanted to reach the working class. In Taiwan, we can't do that because the working class don't speak Chinese. They speak Taiwanese or Hakka. And so those two languages are just as hard as Chinese. They're older derivations of it, and there's been less study of them, so they're harder to learn. And so I don't feel like I've got another language in me. I mean, I'm about done as far as languages go. In fact, when our mission board told us we couldn't go back to China, they said, what about a Spanish-speaking country or something else? Said, if it's not English or Chinese, I'm not going. And they said, okay. And so I just don't know that that's what God wants me to do, but our prayer and our goal is as we reach people for the Lord that they would be burdened for the working class of people there. And so we can no longer reach the working class, so we're going to be focusing mainly in the cities, the white-collar workers, they're the ones that speak Chinese. And yet still we were at a loss because last Christmas I sent back an update that said something to the effect of, the people that are over 40 are so afraid of Christianity that they won't even say Merry Christmas and take the Christmas cookies I try and give them. I mean, they were absolutely terrified that taking those cookies was going to make them Christians. And, I mean, you could kind of understand when some of their teachings is that if I would take one of their Buddhist bracelets, I'd become a Buddhist. And so they just didn't want that. And so they're very, very afraid of that. And so we're just kind of lost, and people were so afraid they didn't even hardly want to talk. And they're very standoffish for the first year. They will not admit to recognizing you. The Taiwanese won't. And so it was just really hard to figure out what to do, how to minister, what God wanted us to do. And so one of the things we did, we invited, if you remember in the DVD, there was a guy with blue hair, and then there's another girl, and there's another guy on the other end of our couch. All of us were together in a picture. He and the girl, his girlfriend, have a foreign food cafe. And so they serve British food, Korean food, Japanese food, American food, and I think something else. And they have coffee and tea that they serve. And his target market, or I should say their target market, is college age and high school kids. And that really seemed to be the group that at least was willing to listen. They weren't afraid to listen. And so we'd been talking before we had this couple over. I mean, what we should do, we thought about college age. We thought, well, maybe we should start a coffee shop, something to get them off campus. We're still allowed to go on campus and witness some, but if you have too much of a ruffle right now, they'll bar us from campus. And so if we can get them off to have the hard conversations, it's better. So we're saying, what, do we need to start a coffee shop or something off campus? And we didn't really want to do that. It's a little expensive, and it's a big headache. I mean, you got to man the thing and be there at all sorts of hours so that these kids can come and get to know you. And so we just weren't really sure that that was what God wanted us to do. But this guy, when he came to our house, he started off the dinner by asking, would you like to do English corners for me in our coffee shop and foreign foods cafe? And I said, which is a polite way of saying no. And you just don't say no very directly in Taiwan or China. And so he listened to that. I mean, he's been in Britain for 2.5 years or so, so he knows a little bit of European, foreign, Western culture. And so he didn't say anything, finished supper. And then he asked me for an hour questions about God, the Bible, why in the world I became a Christian, why in the world I would ever consider going to Taiwan. And even simple questions like, I hear you have two Bibles. I said, no, What are you thinking of? He said, well, I hear, and of course this is all in Chinese, I hear you have one called the Old Testament and the other called the New Testament. I said, no. And I mean, he was just wide open, and he even asked, so you're coming as missionaries so that you can start a church, raise money, and send it back to your church, America, right? And I said, no. And he had that because there's lots of Catholics in Taiwan, especially Kaohsiung, and so that's what they're doing. They're raising money and sending it back. And so he was just asking tons of questions and really, really curious. And so at the end of an hour, he asked me again, would you like to do English corners at my cafe? I was like, not really. Because if you need to understand an English corner, it's where you pick a topic a couple weeks ahead and they advertise it for you. And then whoever wants to comes, and as the foreigner, you have to lead the discussion about whatever the topic is. And in China, sometimes you can work and make sure you have good topics, but it's a lot of work for little return a lot of times. You're just beating yourself to death trying to let them all speak in English a little bit, and you don't get to share much about the Lord, even if you happen to have a good topic, and they let you share about Him. So that's why I learned Chinese, so I wouldn't have to do any more English corners, let's put it that way. And so I didn't really want to, and his response to that second time he asked was, well, you could do all the religious English corners you want. I said, I'm in. I'll do it. And so you can just pray about that, because God already has the target market that we want there at that coffee shop. He's already reaching out to those same group of people. And he himself is somewhat curious. I don't know about open. I don't know if I'd use that word with him, but curious at least about what we believe, what we think. And so you could pray about that as we go back. That was really our only plan. As we went back, we were going to start reaching out to college-age kids and for a time at least stay at this church, working with our coworkers, helping them out, as well as letting Rachel finish up language school. That was the extent of the plans we'd figured out 2 months before we'd left, or maybe 2.5 months before we'd left. And then our coworkers asked us, what you saw in the DVD, if we would take over the church for 6 months while they're gone on furlough. And we said, well, I think we could do that. I think my language is at a point where I can. And so that's another prayer request, because if you remember an update several months ago, or maybe you didn't get it, it said that I'd studied 25 hours for my first sermon in Chinese and preached 24 minutes. And so, and you said something about putting your verses up on the PowerPoint. That first one, I had worked really hard on the text. And I'm a slow reader in Chinese. It's hard work. You're just looking at characters and you're guessing. I mean, it's really that what it comes down to. And even though I'd worked at it, I thought I was reading it fast for me. And the culture is to have everyone read with you. And praise the Lord it is, because I think I'd have killed them with just reading it. Because we all started reading together. I got 3 words in, realized I couldn't keep up. So I started skipping every other word, trying to keep up. Couldn't do it. Every third word. And I said, forget it. It's too much work to count between words. I can't do it this fast. And so I just had them read it. And so the last sermon was the best. I preached a few times in between then, a couple times in between then, but the last one was the best, where I just had all the text on the PowerPoint. I said, okay, you read it. And every time I had a text, I said, you read it. And that was normal for them. That's what they would normally do anyway. But I wasn't reading with them. I just said, you read it instead of read with me, because that was what was happening. But it gave me a chance to relax and look at my next point and make sure I could say everything. And so as we go through this next 6 months, you can pray about that, or I guess I should say from January to May. But in addition to all that I just said, our coworkers, after we got back from Taiwan and had been back for a little while, they called me and said, well, now there's been another change. I said, okay. And they said the BMM has asked them to be the new field administrators for Asia, because the current ones, the wife has MS, and so her husband was just looking for a position within BMM that would keep him home so he could take care of her more. She's getting more and more troubles. And so he was able to move within BMM, and they asked our coworkers. And so that means that our coworkers are asking us now to take over the church permanently until we can find a senior pastor that's a Taiwanese man. So you can really pray about that, because that's a big stretch. 5 months is doable by God's grace, but this one's a lot bigger And so you could pray about that. That's really what God has seemed to be doing. He had that in plan long before we ever knew we were going to Taiwan, that Matt and Marla were going to be the new field administrators for Asia and gone about 35 weeks out of the year. They're still going to be able to stay in Taiwan, but they're just not going to be able to pastor that church. And so if you could just really pray about that, that's all we know of God's plan. And so there's going to be a lot of work involved in these next couple years. One of them is to keep Rachel in language school and not let that be a back burner thing. It's going to have to continue. This last year, I was going 3 days a week. She was going 2 days a week, and I was home doing housework and stuff while she was at school her days so that she could actually study for 8 hours or 10 even to try and get the language. And so we really need to be able to keep that up so that she can get the language. And that's just really important if she's going to have any outreach, any ministry, and just any life. You just can't talk to anybody if you don't know the language. And so just really pray about all that. That's a pretty full plate for us, and especially when we just walked away from language school saying, okay, I guess we'll start a college ministry when we'll come back. So I think that's some of the main details. And so what I'd like to ask, I know we're coming short in on time, but I want to ask, since you haven't gotten a lot of updates, just what questions you have, what big pieces to the puzzle are missing in your minds? And if there are none, that's fine.
On a visa, you have a visa that goes for a certain amount of time?
No, so you could pray about that as well. What we've done this last year in Taiwan, we have had to go out every 90 days to get a new visa. It's called a visa-less entry. Since we're Americans, we get 90 days in Taiwan without a visa. And so we have to fly out, fly back in. And since it's Taiwan and it's an island, we can't do like others do in other countries where we just take a bus off and back. So it's a little more hassle, a little more work. And so right now we're working on getting a missionary visa. It's called a religious workers visa. And I was having to wait until we're closer to takeoff because you have to use it within 3 months of when you get it. And so just today I was talking to them and they changed the time frame on it. And so instead of taking 10 days, it's going to take up to 6 weeks, which takes us right up close to our ticket date. We leave, Lord willing, October 28th. So you could really pray about that all the pieces would fall in. We could get it mailed and sent out tomorrow or Friday. But I mean, it could be faster, but they've changed the whole system. So there's a praise in that. Before, we were going to have to go all the way up to Chicago to have a face-to-face interview. And now we don't have to do that. But instead of taking 10 days, it's going to take 6 weeks because they're sending it all the way back to Taiwan. So just pray about all that, and we'll see what God does.
The missionaries that you said they're trying to kick them out of China,
mm-hmm.
What reason are they giving them? Are they just saying?
Some of them are just saying you're too evangelistic and you're spreading the gospel too much. And
communist government considers Christianity subversive, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and technically it is illegal to share your faith. It's legal to be a Christian, not legal, and it's illegal to share your faith. And so that's the charge, and it's enough to make a statement.
The question I had was Mr. Blue Hair, what did he choose of American food to represent?
Chicken wings, and not very good ones. But his fish and chips aren't much either. Yeah. I've had good fish and chips, and they aren't that. Don't tell him. And he knows they're not that good. He lived in Britain for two and a half years. And he said, huh?
Can you show him how to cook?
No, the problem is he uses a different fish because he's on a tight budget, and so the fish isn't as good. I forget what he uses instead of cod, but anyway, it doesn't fry well.
It's
not tilapia either. It's probably something like what when we went out to eat with the lady that ran into Nathan and I on the bike. We went out to eat, and I was talking to him, and we said, what kind of fish is this? And so they told me. So finally I asked them to write it onto my dictionary on my phone, and they did. And it was a really specific kind of fish. It said sea fish, like ocean fish, like, great Scott, this is worthless. So Who knows what they're from?
Came out of the water.
Yes. Yeah. So, anything else? Yes, sir.
With China, you know, I guess you know, technically, you know, Taiwan governs itself independently, but China considers it part of their country.
And to tell you the other side of the story, Taiwan also considers China to be part of their country.
Right.
So,
well, I've seen the old maps. I've seen old world maps.
Yeah.
Where it shows mainland China and it says communist occupied China, and then it says the Republic of China.
Yes.
Over Taiwan.
Yeah, that's what it's. They still claim that title, but up to just a few years ago, their constitution still said that they governed all of mainland China as well. So, yeah, there's some tension over that.
So, what I ask is, you know, recently China's been flexing its muscles more in the inland China Sea, mm-hmm. pushing claims and such. Do you see that? You know, I'm sure you're hearing, you know, that's affecting things, but is it, you know, becoming more of an issue there, or you know, is it affecting your missionary work there?
Not affecting missionary work yet. If they were to invade Taiwan, then it would, obviously. But no, not affecting missionary work. And the last 6 months, it's actually quieted down a lot. Taiwan was pretty angry over China's claims. But so were the Philippines and Thailand and Vietnam and Japan. I mean, they were all claiming the same area.
Korea.
Korea, too. I didn't know about
that
one.
There were some islands that Korea said theirs, and China was saying
it was theirs. Okay. Well, yeah, well, they were quite incensed for a couple months, and seemed like perhaps even shots might be fired over it, but they didn't quite do that. And so it's quieted down, but really what they're most concerned about now is America's presidential election, because they see it the way they see it. If Hillary Clinton gets in, they think that China will just go ahead and take over Taiwan, and this is just what they're seeing. They're afraid that if Donald Trump gets in, that there will be a third world war and it'll be centered around that area. So they're just not. They're really nervous. I mean, I didn't really realize how nervous. I was hearing it from teachers and stuff, but sometimes teachers just talk about things to make you practice your Chinese. And I got into a taxi one day, and he said, "Who's going to win?" I was like, "Who's going to win what?" "The presidential election." I said, "Why do you care?" And he just laid all that out. And it's like, okay, this is a big deal. He said, "It's all over the news and stuff." So they're really watching what's happening. So we'll see. We have a couple of men, especially the one guy, Roger, that you saw on the DVD, the guy in the pink shirt that I was talking to. He's a retired Navy man. He was 20-some years in the Navy. That's pretty much all Taiwan has. They have an Air Force, but it's very small. And their entire Navy is stationed between China and Taiwan. And you can see it on a clear day. You go to the beach, or if you go up to eat at a tall restaurant, or you go up to a higher mountain, you can see the entire Navy. They're just stacked between them. But even with all of that, they know they can only hold out 1 week if China attacks. And so, we'll see what happens. And it might not happen with gunfire. It depends on the government of Taiwan. So the current not yet the current president, but the one that was elected a couple months before we left, she's more pro-China. And so she could sign it over. And so you could just, there's a lot of ways it could happen. The old advice was to always keep a suitcase packed by the door, but it's kind of hard to live that way. And so most people don't. We don't. But if we have to go, I don't really know what good a suitcase will do, because we either have to fly out, and if bombs are flying, I don't really want to do that, or we have to boat out, and if bombs are going off, I don't want to do that one either. So I don't really know. Just trust the Lord and see what happens with it all.
Any handy caves?
There are, on the mountain right behind our house. It's where the Japanese held off.
Reference flight, flee to the hills.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of them there where the Japanese were fighting off not just the Chinese, but I think the American troops as well. For a while.
Well,
What is the population of the town that you're in?
7.5 million. 7.5 million, yeah. So.
Little city.
Yes, it is, really.
I'd say 1% would be Christian.
Yeah.
Not Catholic, but Christian.
Yeah, yeah. Or perhaps less. So, pretty small. I just have a few minutes. I'd like to just share with you a brief thought. I'll start with it from Chinese, but then I'll just let us look into Joseph's life for just a minute. And just note one thing from it. There's a lot we could learn either from an in-depth study or from an overview, and I've got both, but I don't want to take us forever tonight. But as we look at Joseph's life, I want to give you a Chinese phrase that maybe you could think of as you're witnessing or sharing the gospel with someone. And in Chinese, if I was going to say I could give you a cold, like a flu bug, I'd say, well, chuan ran gei ni. That would mean I have passed on my infection to you. So, well, chuan ran gei ni. So remember that word chuan, because when it comes to Christian terms, they use the same word, chuan fu yin. And so if I am sharing the gospel, I am passing on passing it on to you. And really, that's perhaps a good illustration of how we are to spread the gospel. Because, you know, a lot of times, and when I was a boy, we were supposed to cough into our hand. Now you're supposed to do it into your elbow or whatever, just to try and keep people from getting sick. And up to a certain age, kids just don't really care. I mean, how are you achoo doing right in your face? And it's not a big deal to them. But I've also noted with a lot of kids, it's not a big deal to share Christ when we as adults are afraid. We see a guy or a lady and we know some of what they think. We know perhaps from what they've said, just a few words, that they're very anti-Christian. And so we try to cover our mouth or something to try and keep from giving them too much of the gospel or any of the gospel so that we don't offend them, because we're afraid, and our kids will sometimes just say it, just exactly what needs to be heard. Why don't they? And it's like, shut up. Why are you saying that? That's too much. And it can be embarrassing, but they are very open, and they don't mind sneezing in the person's face. They don't mind telling them about the Lord in that person's face, even if that person doesn't like that. And really, that ought to be how we are. And yet the rub of it is, that's scary, right? I mean, no one likes to be sneezed on, and a lot of people don't like to be witnessed to. And yet we have a man named Joseph. And I think last time we were here, you were preaching in Job, and you were on the very first sermon. You said, I hate a message that doesn't get into the text. And this is one of them. And so this is another one of them. We're going to look at a few verses, but for time's sake, we're not going to read them all. But if you look at Joseph in Genesis 37, he is a young man that, first of all, he just speaks the truth. We find that his brethren, he tells them, his father their evil report in 37:2. And so he tells the truth, and that's already not very favorable in their eyes. They're being told on, ratted on. And yet, when it comes, even though you find in verse 4, they cannot speak peaceably to him, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably to him. You find in verse 5 to 8, Joseph dreaming a dream and telling them what he dreamed. And a few people have faulted him for that, saying that he didn't need to do that. My understanding would be that he was passing on the oral truth that he had. They didn't have the Bible back then, and so they had to pass things on orally, Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph and on down. And so my understanding would be that he didn't do the wrong thing sharing that. If you disagree with me, that's fine. That's really not the biggest problem to what I'm trying to share with you tonight. But he re-shares a similar dream, not quite the same, in verses 9 to 11. Of the same chapter. And so he shares in both of them of his brethren bowing down to him. But as you move through that, so let's just note that he is sold as a slave, and he's sold to Potiphar. And chapter 38 of Genesis tells about his brother Judah's open adultery. And yet, in contrast to that, sharp contrast to that, you have Joseph, and he is now in Potiphar's house, and he has taken some time, all right? Let's just note some time, some period of time to work up in Potiphar's service, and we don't know how long, but he's taken some time. And if you have my look at his sharing what God has said to his brothers, then he's already gotten bad results from sharing God's word to his brothers, right? I mean, if you look at it the way I just did, he's already gotten bad results for that. And yet when you come to chapter 39, and he's refusing his master's wife, you find in verse 9, he is saying, "There's none greater in this house than I, neither he, Potiphar, kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." And he just throws that right at her. But then he has this phrase, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And he's bringing God back into the conversation to a lady that's pagan, that is very immoral, at least in her thoughts. He is bringing God into a conversation with a person that you can pretty much bet doesn't want to hear about it and doesn't really care. And we don't know what he says day by day, but if he responds the same way every day, in verse 10 it says she speaks to him day by day. But he has at least spoken God to her once, if not many times, and now he's thrown in prison for it. And you come to chapter 40, and you have him speaking to two men, the butler and the baker, and you find the one time that he is saying something without talking about God. And so you find he is telling them that he has been stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, verse 15, and here I've done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon. He asked to be remembered to Pharaoh, but he's forgotten for 2 years. Finally, Pharaoh brings him out in chapter 41, and when he brings him out, he has in chapter 41, he tells Joseph, "I have heard that you can understand a dream." In verse 16 of 41, Joseph answers Pharaoh, "It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And so he hears the dream. And Joseph again says in verse 25, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do." And you find in verse 28, "What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh." And verse 32, "For that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." And you have a man he's standing before what he assumes to be in chapter 40, his last chance, the only one that can get him out of the dungeon. And if there's ever a good time to not anger someone and perhaps to not speak your faith, it's when you're at your last link in the chain that could get you out of a horrible situation. I'm not saying he shouldn't have spoken about the Lord. I'm just saying, humanly speaking, that's when we would shut up and just get out of prison and get back home and say, "Sorry, God, I didn't witness for you there." And yet he, over and over again, even though he's had bad results in the past, he was sold as a slave for speaking to his brothers about the Lord. He was thrown into a dungeon for speaking to his master's wife about the Lord and refusing to sin with her. And now he's before the king of the land, and he's speaking about God and continually putting the glory to God and not on himself, and pointing the picture to God and not himself. And that takes some guts, doesn't it? I mean, you've had bad results all your life. Usually we say, you know what, I'll sign out for a little bit and I'll take a minute off. But Joseph continued to speak about the Lord. He had, as far as we know, no command to do so. To witness or to evangelize, but he is speaking to Pharaoh about the one true God, because he knows that he is nothing without that one true God, and he's going to exalt him as God deserves. And so perhaps as you think of Joseph, you can remember the Chinese phrase, chuan ran ge wo, that'd be to infect me with your sickness, but to chuan fuin, to spread it. Whether or not the people like it, I hate getting sick, but if we're going to see people saved, we're going to have to spread the gospel, whether they like it or not, sneeze in their face, as it were, and say, "This is the truth," and keep laying it out there, and whether they accept it or not, that's up to God, and that's in their own decision-making, but we have to be faithful to present God to them and let them understand the one true God and something about Him. And so I'd just like to perhaps give you that little challenge tonight, and then I'll pray and turn it over to Pastor. Father, as we look at Joseph. Lord, we just ask that you would give us boldness, Lord, to be as he was and to speak Christ to the world around us. And so we pray this not for our own sake, but for yours, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, thank you.
Why, what a life story, what a situation. This is where man proposes and God disposes. And at this point you say, okay, whatever. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. And in the final analysis, sounds to me like he wanted to be the pastor of this church. So, buck up. Here you go. And you said there was a difference on the video, the difference in the pronunciation, the same language but different pronunciation. You get the sense that you sound like a hick to them? There's like a southern twang or something? But,
kind of the other way around.
Oh.
So they've definitely...
You sound a little uppity. Yeah. Huh. Sometimes that can play to a strength when it's not affected, not done deliberately. Especially college-age kids would kind of be attracted to somebody that sounds a little intelligent or something. That would be a good thing. God does that. Speaks to you in ways you cannot ignore. Your wife's health and life and so on, and yet how wonderful to spare her in the nick of time. So we're thrilled to reconnect and to get this. Angie is our missionary. What are you? Missionary secretary, missionary person, and contact. She was the one that kept trying to track you down, get a hold of you. So and then Heidi, that took the kids out, does our bulletin. So each we were praying for. I put it over here. We pray for a missionary, one of our missionaries each week, and so the what you send in will abridge and put into this as your prayer requests and so on. So I'm not sure. What do we have? 10, 11? Okay. Yeah. And so a cycle of every 9 weeks you come up. And so we went to pictures of you and that type of thing.